The Bible says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we do thank you again for this day and for this opportunity to be in church. And I pray, Heavenly Father, in these next few moments that you would help us to be able to focus our attention on the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have ears to hear and hearts to receive the message that you have for us. Lord, please keep our minds from distraction, from wandering to some other place, some other time, some other event. Help us to stay in the moment, focused and locked in on the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that any area of our life where we need to change, that Lord, as you speak to us and deal with us, we would submit that area to you. If there's someone here today that's lost, I pray your Holy Spirit would deal with their heart, would draw them to salvation, and that before they leave, they would trust you as their Savior. Please help me now as I try to preach. I ask for clarity of thought and speech and liberty to say what you want said. And I pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. If you were here last Sunday for Sunday school, you might remember that I referenced the story we just read as we ended our Bible study. And I did so because as we finished up our study of 2 Samuel, we saw there in chapter 24 that David offered some sacrifices in order to stay or stop a plague that had killed 70,000 men from among the children of Israel. And we also saw that David offered other sacrifices after the plague was stopped. He offered sacrifices before and after the plague. He offered sacrifices before because that's what God required in order to stop the plague. He offered sacrifices after in order to say thank you for what the Lord had done. So he offered before and he offered after. And I talked about how many times we as people, and I'm referring here to both lost people and saved people, but many times we as people will seek God for a need. Or maybe it's not a need, maybe it's simply a desire that we have. But we'll seek God, and once the need is met or the desire is granted, we move on with our lives without expressing any gratitude whatsoever. Or we move on expressing very little or a minimal amount of gratitude. What I mean is we don't thank God with the same intensity and fervor as we sought the Lord for the need or the desire that we had. And that really is what you see going on right here in this story of these 10 lepers that were cleansed of their leprosy. And with that in mind, and in light of the fact that this Thursday is when we celebrate Thanksgiving, I'm going to use this story to preach a message titled 1 out of 10. 1 out of 10, or you could call it only this stranger. Only this stranger. And in this message, there are 4 main truths that I want to focus on concerning these 10 lepers. First of all, I want to talk this morning about their problem. I want you to look with me there at verses 11 and 12, and really this should be obvious, but I want to talk about their problem. The problem they had was leprosy. In verse number 11, the scripture says, "And it came to pass, as he," talking about the Lord, "went to Jerusalem." At this point in his life and ministry, Jesus is journeying toward Jerusalem, understanding what he had to do. And as he's making that journey, the Bible says he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. That was their problem. They had the physical problem of leprosy. If you know anything at all about leprosy, you know that leprosy was a horrible physical problem to have. Leprosy is something that, unless healed, results in death. It results in a slow, painful, agonizing death. A person's body literally rots as time goes by. And eventually, unless they are healed, they die. But this is why, if you've ever looked at pictures of people that have leprosy, and by the way, this is not some disease relegated to the past. There are still people in this world today who have the plague and the disease of leprosy. But if you ever look at pictures, real pictures I'm talking about, of people that have leprosy, you'll notice quite often that members of their body will be missing. They'll be missing an ear or perhaps a nose, maybe fingers or toes or even an entire leg or half of a leg. These things will be gone. And the reason is because the leprosy is slowly deteriorating their body. And they'll be going along and parts of their body simply fall off. That's what happens when a person has leprosy. And that's what's going on in the lives of these 10 men. They're dying a slow, painful, agonizing death. And not only that, but if you study what the scripture teaches, you find that people who had leprosy were forced into a life of seclusion to a certain degree. They could not mingle in society like ordinary people or people that didn't have leprosy. They were forced into a life of separation. They could not be around their friends. They could not be with their family. They could not function in society on a normal basis. They had to live outside the camp, the Bible says, in leper colonies. And that is something even now you find in this world. You find leper colonies where people live that have this horrible disease. And you find in the Bible that people who had leprosy were considered unclean. And whenever they were out, they always had to keep a distance. That's why the Bible says there in verse number 12 and the end of that verse that these 10 men stood afar off because they had to keep their distance from people that did not have leprosy. And as they were out and they were keeping their distance, they always had to lift up their voice and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," just to let other people know what their problem was. That's the condition these men were in. That was their problem, and what a horrible problem to have. And really, leprosy is an excellent picture or type of sin. Leprosy is. Think about it. Sin results in death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If a person is not cured of their sin problem, they will die physically, and then they will die spiritually, and they will experience what the Bible calls the second death, where for all eternity they burn in the lake of fire. That's what happens to a person that is not cured of their sin problem. And hey, according to the Bible, everybody has a sin problem. And I'm not just talking about people committing acts of sin. I'm talking about the fact that every human being born into this world is born with a sin nature. And that is the reason why people commit acts of sin, because in their nature they are depraved and sinful. And unless that problem is addressed and taken care of according to the Bible, they will die physically and they will die spiritually. For all eternity they'll suffer in the lake of fire. Not only that, but sin produces separation. I talked about how people with leprosy had to be separate from others. People that have this sin problem are separated from God. These lepers, as I mentioned, had to cry out unclean. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, in talking about humanity as a whole, it says we are all as an unclean thing. In our depravity, in our lost condition, we are all as an unclean thing in the eyes of God, and that uncleanness separates us from the Lord. That is what sin does in the life of an individual. So there's a lot of similarities between this problem of leprosy and the problem of sin. But not only do I want to talk this morning about their problem, I want you to look with me now at verse number 13. I want to talk for a moment here about their prayer, or you could call it their plea. But notice what it says there in verse number 13 about these 10 men. The Bible says they lifted up their voices. They lifted up their voices. They're lifting up their voice, one, because they're at a distance. Remember, they have to stand afar off. They can't, in their condition, go right up to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're at a distance. And they want to make sure that He hears when they pray. So they lift up their voice because of the distance. Also, they lift up their voice, I believe, because of their seriousness. They're very serious in this situation. They understand they have a horrible problem. Nobody's got to convince them they're lepers, in other words. They know they're lepers. They know they have a problem. And they know what's going to happen if a miracle is not performed in their life. So they're very serious. They're very intent. And that is evidenced in the fact that they lift up their voice. They're not murmuring to themselves or among themselves. They're not being quiet, worried about what someone will think. They're lifting up their voices without reserve because they want to make sure Jesus Christ hears their prayer. Notice what it says there in verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Have mercy on us. What is their prayer? What do they ask for? They ask for mercy. We've talked about mercy before. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. That's mercy. Grace is defined as us getting what we don't deserve. We all need grace, and we all need mercy. Amen. These men are crying out for mercy. They're talking about mercy in the form of them being healed of their leprosy. That's what's imminent in their mind. That's the most pressing need they see that they have. So when they say, "Lord Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," they're saying, "We need you to do something here for us other than what we deserve. We understand we're lepers. We understand we're dying, and that's what we deserve. But what we want now is mercy from you." They're crying out for mercy. As you read on in the story, you see how the Lord responded to their prayer. Do you understand this morning what a lost sinner needs? We just talked about how all of humanity is plagued with this problem of sin. Every person is born with a sin nature, and consequently, we all sin. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every last one of us. But you know what a lost sinner needs? Maybe we should talk first about what a lost sinner deserves. You know what a lost sinner deserves? A lost sinner deserves to die in their sin and go to hell and burn in the lake of fire for all eternity. That's what every lost sinner deserves. That's what you deserved before you got saved. It does not matter how good you think of yourself. It does not matter what false propaganda people have put in your mind. I'm telling you, based on the authority of the Bible, that before Jesus Christ saved your never dying soul, you deserved eternity in the lake of fire. Every one of us. That's why a lost sinner needs mercy. Amen. Lost sinner deserves to die and go to hell and then be in the lake of fire. That's what they deserve. So what a lost sinner needs is mercy. Now obviously we need grace as well, but a lost sinner needs mercy. That should be the plea and the prayer of every lost sinner. When they recognize and understand their condition, they should pray for mercy. And I want to say this morning, not only do lost sinners need mercy, but saved sinners need mercy too. Now, we don't need mercy to keep us out of the lake of fire. That was settled the moment we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We don't have to worry about going to the lake of fire. We got that mercy. But hey, after you get saved, as you live your Christian life and you continue to dwell on this earth down here, I can promise you, friend, you need mercy. You need the mercy of God every single moment, every single day of your existence on this earth. Their problem was leprosy. Their prayer was for mercy. Lord Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Here's a third thing I want to talk about this morning. Not only their problem and their prayer, but I want to talk about their purification. Their purification. Look with me now at verse number 14, and notice the Bible says, and when he saw them, when Jesus saw these 10 lepers, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now that's an interesting statement. These men have got leprosy. Jesus sees them. He says, go show yourselves unto the priest. Why would he give them those instructions? Well, if you go back to the book of Leviticus, chapters 13 and 14, and I did this again this week as I was thinking about this message and preparing. I went back and looked through those chapters again. But if you go back to Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, you'll find that it's there in the law that God gives instructions concerning people that had the disease of leprosy. And what you find there is that, number one, it was the priest who had to examine these people and declare whether they did or did not have leprosy. The priests were the ones that examined them, checked them out, and if they came to the conclusion that they had leprosy, they declared them unclean and then set in order the things that had to be done after that. But not only were they the ones who made the determination, they were also the ones that determined when a person was healed of leprosy. And there were occasions back in the Old Testament where people had leprosy and a miracle transpired in their life and they were healed, and they would come back to the priest and show themselves to the priest, and after a certain amount of days and different things going on, he would declare them clean. They were no longer unclean, they were clean, and they could rejoin society and function as a normal person in society. That's what the priest did. So they were the ones who said, yes, you have leprosy. And they were the ones who said, you have been healed of your leprosy. And then, if a person was healed of their leprosy, they had certain sacrifices that they had to offer on behalf of the person that had been healed of their leprosy. All of this had to be done and was done by the priest. So that should help you to understand a little more why he says, go show yourselves unto the priest. But think about it now. When he tells them, go show yourselves unto the priest, in actuality, what he's saying to those 10 men is, you are healed of your leprosy. And all you need to do now is go show yourselves to the priest so they can examine you and declare and say, yes, you have been healed. But now when he tells them to do that, as they're standing in his presence, guess what? They're still lepers. They still got it in them, right? It's still evident in their body. How do you know that? Look at the verse. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Look at it now. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So when he says, go show yourself to the priest, in essence saying, you're healed, just go show yourself to the priest, they still got it in their body. They still have the evidence. They're looking at themselves. But as they go, and they're making their journey to where Jesus told them to go, they realize something has happened. We have been cleansed. We are not lepers anymore. A miracle has transpired in our lives. But here's the thing I want you to see. These people had to take Jesus Christ at his word and do what he told them to do. Amen? To get cleansing, they had to believe what Jesus said and act on what he said. And when they believed and they acted, guess what they received? They received the answer to their prayer. Remember what their prayer was? Have mercy. Have mercy on us. You know when they got the mercy? When they believed and acted on what Jesus said. When that happened, they received the mercy they desired. Far too often, I think people want mercy from God without doing what God says to be done. They don't want to take God at his word and act in faith on that. They just want God to open up heaven and do a miracle in their life without them having any hand in it whatsoever. But what I find here and all through the scripture is that God will do his part when you and I choose to do our part. When we decide we're going to believe God and act in faith, then we'll begin to see the Lord do things in our lives. This is true even when it comes to the matter of salvation. Think about it. I've talked about how leprosy pictures sin, how it's a problem that plagues all people. There's a lot of lost sinners still in our world today. You know what those lost sinners need? They need mercy from the Lord to be saved. Amen? The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. That lost sinner on their way to hell in the lake of fire needs mercy from God. When do they get mercy from God? I'll tell you when they get mercy from God. When they take the Lord at his word and do what he says. When they believe the record of the word of God concerning themselves. When they look into the mirror of scripture and agree with what it says. You know what the Bible says? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When that lost sinner says, hey, you know what? That's me right there. I agree with that. I'm not going to resist that anymore. I know, like the Bible says, I am a sinner. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Amen? That's what the Bible says. And when that lost sinner looks into the Bible and says, hey, I agree with that. I believe that, not just about everybody else, but about my own self. When they believe that, and then when they believe, as the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When they believe that, and when they believe where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When they believe all of that, and then as the Bible says, obey the gospel. You know what obeying the gospel is? You know what it is? It's when you put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Whenever a person does that, you know what they get right then? They get mercy. Isn't that a blessing? You know, when you got the mercy of God in your life that brought about your salvation, the greatest thing that's ever happened to you, by the way. You realize that, don't you? You do understand. I pray with all in my heart today. You understand the greatest thing that's ever happened in your life is the day you got saved by the grace of God and the mercy of God. That's the greatest thing that ever happens, the greatest thing that ever will happen in your life down here on this earth. But when you got mercy was when you agreed with God and you put some faith in there and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's when you got mercy from the Lord. That's what you needed. That's what you got. That's when you got it. That's when those that were far off were made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me show you this in the Bible real quick. We'll move on to the last thing. Turn to the book of Ephesians here. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll start reading in verse number 11. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past, he's going to talk to them about what they were before salvation. In time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the condition right now of every person that is lost. Every person is without God, without hope, and without Christ in this world. But look at verse 13. Here's some good news. But now, he started out by talking about their past in verse number 11. In verse 13, he shifts to the present. He says, but now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You remember that leper? Got to stay off, doesn't he? Unclean. That's all he could do. He had to stay off. When we started this sermon, verse number 12, those men are standing afar off. They have to keep their distance. They can't get up close. You know what brings that lost sinner close? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they put their faith in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that sinner that's far off is brought nigh by the blood. Now go back, please, to Luke 17, and I want us to look at one last thing here. This is really important. So y'all don't give up on me right here. I want you to stay locked in and focus. This is really one of the main points of the message. We talked about their problem, their prayer, their purification. They were cleansed. Then I want to talk last of all this morning about their percentage. Their percentage. And just from the beginning, I'll say their percentage was pitiful. It was pitiful. Their percentage. Look at verse number 15. It says, and one of them, how many of them was there? 10. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Something I noticed here as I was studying through, verse number 13 says, they lifted up their voices. They were very intent. They cried out loudly. And then the Bible says when this fellow right here came back, verse number 15, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Remember what I mentioned in the start of the message, the introduction, about how a lot of times once we get what we desire from God that we'll move on with our life, either with showing no gratitude whatsoever or just a minimal amount of gratitude. I said we don't thank him with the same enthusiasm and fervor as we seek him for the need. You know what I see in this fellow right here? He came back and with at least the same amount of gratitude, he thanked the Lord for what he had done in his life. He cries out with a loud voice, have mercy. When he comes back, he cries out with a loud voice and glorifies God, it says. And notice, it's not because he's a long way off now. It's not because he's afraid he won't be heard. Look at verse number 16. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He's no longer way off at a distance wondering if Jesus is going to hear him. He's down at his feet now. You see how the Lord made it possible for him to be brought near? Man, when I was lost, I couldn't get close to God. You know what I can do every day of my life now? Any moment of that day, I can fall right down at his feet. Every day of my life. Because of the mercy I've been shown through his Son, Jesus Christ. He falls down there. He's not worrying about being heard. He's just so happy and so thankful and so grateful. He's lifting up his voice and expressing that gratitude to the Lord. Says he's giving him thanks, verse 16. But how many of them was it? Look at verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? You know what that is? That's what you would call a rhetorical question is what that is. He knew the answer to that. were there not 10 cleansed? And I don't know about you, but I can almost hear the disappointment in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he says, but where are the nine? The disappointment. Not shock. We don't ever shock the Lord. He knows us better than anybody. He knows human nature and humanity. So he's not shocked when humans do bad. I don't sense shock in his voice. I sense disappointment in his voice. He's disappointed that 10 of these men were cleansed, but only one was grateful enough to turn around and come back and say thank you. Where are the nine? That's a good question to ask this morning. Where are the nine? It's still the majority of people today that lack the gratitude they need for what God's done in their life. Still the majority. You know one reason why our church houses are not filled to overflowing and we have to build bigger buildings all the time? And let's just be real about it. One reason, not the only reason, is because there's a whole lot of saved people that are out there in the world moving on with their lives, living for themselves, and they're not really grateful for what God's done for them. They're not appreciative for it. Where are the nine? Look at what he says in verse 18. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. They are not found. Can't find them. Where are the nine? Where are they? You know where they are? They've just moved on with their life. They got what they wanted from God, and they just moved on. Yeah, they're happy that they're not lepers anymore. But they didn't care enough to come back and say thank you. They just moved on with their life. There's a lot of folks that get saved because they hear a message from a pulpit, or maybe somebody talks to them and explains the gospel to them, tells them about the reality of their sin and what's going to happen if they don't get saved and how Jesus Christ paid for their sin. They can be saved from eternity in the lake of fire, if they'll trust him. They hear that message, the Lord deals with their heart, stirs them, convicts them, and the fear of God comes inside of them. They don't want to go to hell. They don't want to burn in the lake of fire, and they realize what Jesus did, and they trust him as their Savior. They get that fire insurance. You know what I'm talking about? Then you know what they do? They do like them other nine. They just go on with their life. They're not necessarily out living a horrible, hellish life. They may be pretty decent, upstanding folk that pay their bills and do other nice things and hold down a job and all that kind of stuff. But they're just living for their self. They're just living for their self. They got what they wanted. They got that fire insurance. They know they're not going to hell or the lake of fire, and that's all that mattered to them. And they're just living their life, doing their own thing. You know the problem? They're not thankful in their heart for what the Lord did for them. I wonder if any of us in here today are as thankful in our heart as we ought to be for what he's done in our life. I have seen situations where a person gets saved, and in those beginning months, Maybe even beginning years, you can just see how thankful they are. It's evident how grateful they are. You can't beat them out of church. You can't. If the door's open, brother, they there. You can't beat them out. And all they ever want to do is talk about Jesus. And all they ever want to do is read their Bible and pray and be amongst God's people in fellowship. They're just so excited. You can just see it. You can sense the gratitude they have. Man, they make their way down to an altar all the time. Not because they're confessing some horrible sin. They just come down like David did to offer the sacrifice of praise and gratitude for what the Lord's done for them. You see that. But then it seems like something changes, doesn't it? And as time goes by, it seems like they're less and less grateful for what God's done in their life. And it's a challenge. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you live 100 years after you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, your heart should always be filled to overflowing with gratitude for what he's done. And not just in the matter of salvation, but again, I talked about how we need mercy every day, and every day we get mercy. I'm reading in the book of Lamentations right now, finished up Jeremiah and went on into Lamentations. You know one of my favorite passages in the book of Lamentations? And if you've ever read Lamentations, man, it'll almost put you into a fit of depression. You know what I mean? Because all through that thing, Jeremiah's lamenting over the horribleness of his people, what terrible things have happened, how Jerusalem and his people just been wiped out because of their sin. And it's just a bleak, horrible thing. But right in the midst of all that death and destruction and lamentation, you know what he says? Jeremiah says that his mercies are new every morning. Do you know every day that you open your eyes and see that day, you've been given new mercy from God? Every day. Man, we get mercy every day. The question I have is, what does it mean to you? What percentage are you in? It was just one that came back, just one that got down at his feet, that didn't care what anybody thought about him. And I guarantee there was a whole lot of people around there. He didn't care if they laughed at him. He didn't care if they made fun of him. He didn't care what anybody thought. He was so overflowing with gratitude, he just fell down and grabbed the feet of Jesus Christ and began to glorify him. That's the way every one of us ought to be. Never be ashamed of him, amen. But thankful and grateful for the mercy he's shown to us in salvation, the mercy he shows to us every single day. What percentage are you in? Are you that one that has come back, or are you amongst the nine that's just going on with your life, either showing no gratitude or just a small amount of gratitude? Where are you at today? I could go on with this and on with it. The truth of the matter is, every one of us has been shown great mercy from the Lord. I'll say this to you. If you're here today and you're unsaved, you've already been a recipient of God's mercy. You know how I know that? Because you're not dead and in hell. And you're sitting in a church service this morning with one more opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's mercy. That's way more than you deserve. I promise you that. But he's give it to you again. What will you do with that mercy? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for your mercies that were new when we woke up this morning. Thank you for all the mercy you've shown us throughout our lives, most of all in our salvation. Forgive us for any degree of ingratitude that we have. Help us to be more appreciative for what you've done. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.